So when we see this question here, the first thing that really sticks out is this pulsation superior to the manubrium. We're like, what the fuck? Like, I mean, that's an unusual descriptor to see in vignettes. And then we also see the tracheal deviation to the left, which we classically see as consistent with pneumothoraces. And then finally, at the end, we see the 2-on-6 diastolic flow murmured on the right sternal border, which in this case is actually aortic regurgitation. The heart sounds, I could spend an hour just unraveling. I've done other audios on that. But the long story short is aortic regurgitation is classically a holodiastolic. It's a decrescendo holodiastolic murmur that can radiate down the left sternal border. But also NBME questions, it will show up occasionally as a flow murmur down the right sternal border. Once again, a lot we can chat about that confuses a lot of students, because sometimes we'll say, oh, flow murmur, that's used for aortic regurge, like, because sometimes it can be used for aortic stenosis. Flow can also be used for functional murmurs, like when you get a high heart rate in the setting of infection. So once again, a lot we can chat about, but they're mentioning an aortic regurge here. Now, this pulsations appear to the manubrium. I'll just say straight up, you need to know means aneurysm. If you know that that is a classic descriptor for aneurysm, then this question's easy. If you haven't seen it before, once again, it's a what the fuck descriptor. You can also see that with aortic aneurysms like AAAs, abdominal aortic aneurysms. In this case, this is a thoracic aortic aneurysm, which is our answer here. And aneurysms, as they develop proximally, they can lead to aortic root dilatation and aortic regurge. So that's the reason we have the aortic regurge in this question. And aneurysm's biggest risk factor is history of hypertension, which this patient has. Smoking doesn't help the situation, okay? Weakens vascular walls, causes atherosclerosis. So big smoker, history of hypertension. And even though she's on hydrochlorothiazide, it's clearly poorly managed as she today has 164 on 96. Classically, also, you can get aneurysms with history of cocaine use. That causes hypertension. Connective tissue disorders, such as Ehlers-Danlos or Marfan syndrome. And even rare familial syndromes, such as MYH11 mutation, causing familial thoracic aortic aneurysm. The latter they will not ask on the USMLE, but I mentioned that. So this is aortic aneurysm. We look at aortic stenosis as choice B. That would be a 2-on-6 mid-systolic murmur, obviously not consistent with what we have in the vignette here. Mid-systolic also means crescendo-decrescendo. Once again, just not what we have here. And decompensated coarctation of the aorta, it's a distractor in the sense of like, coarctation of the aorta, not really sure how that's supposed to sound, or ooh, decompensated. Yeah, I just threw that in there. Now, coarctation of the aorta, classically Turner syndrome, much younger patient, right? Female, much younger. Need not be Turner, of course, but it's just classic patient who gets it. Coarctation of the aorta, you can get generally a systolic murmur that's infraclavicular, heard loudest along the scapula. So, but it's not what we have here. And they would mention something in 100% of questions when they want coarctation, unless they tell you Turner syndrome straight up, you need to know that coarctation is your more brisk pulses in the upper limbs, stronger pulses in the upper limbs, weaker pulses in the lower limbs, higher blood pressure in the upper limbs, lower blood pressure in the lower limbs. They could say that there's dusky or cool lower limbs, whereas pink, warm upper limbs. Okay, that's coarctation. And once again, a lot we could chat about preductal versus postductal. Preductal is the answer for pediatrics. If you get closure of the ductus arteriosus and cyanosis occurring about 3 to 10 days after birth, when the neonate had Apgar scores of 9 and 9 at 1 and 5 minutes respectively, and then they say that, you know, 3 to 10 days later there's cyanosis, and the answer is closure of the ductus arteriosus, that's because that can bring out the presentation of a preductal coarctation. We can chat a lot about that for pediatrics. And postductal coarctation of the aorta is the one that you'd get in adults. This patient's just rather old as well. Pneumothorax, spontaneous pneumothorax is most common. They'll give you a tall, lanky male generally. They could say he plays basketball, uses cocaine. That can bring out a pneumothorax. USMLE step one likes the mechanism of ruptured subapical bleb. Really weird, yes, but that's the mechanism they want. Ruptured subapical bleb. You get an ipsilateral tracheal deviation. And you'll see it on a chest x-ray. You'll see the lung pulled up where you've got air in the pleural space, okay? You'll be able to see the demarcation where you have that air in the pleural space. They'll say it's hyper-resonant to percussion, where you have that air, decreased breath sounds over the pneumothorax. And you can treat with needle decompression followed by a chest tube. Some students will say, oh, I thought like you could observe small pneumothoraces. Yeah, you can. I mean, it's more of a Q-bank type of like, haha, gotcha kind of thing. Like if they give you a very stable patient with a very small pneumothorax, but on the USMLE, especially for the 2CK stuff, the answer is always going to be needle decompression followed by chest tube. Okay. And tension pneumothorax, you're going to get a contralateral tracheal shift. Tension pneumothorax is the answer when you have low blood pressure in the setting of pneumothorax. That's what it means. That's what tension pneumothorax means, is you have hemodynamic decompensation, okay? It's because of compression on the venous structures. That's a question that some attendings like to ask as well. It's like, ooh, wow, like what's the mechanism for hypotension and tension pneumothorax? Compression of venous structures, okay, interesting. So that's the mechanism they want, decreased venous return. And once again, you would do needle decompression followed by a chest tube. Tension pneumothorax can be due to trauma. And if it's due to penetrating chest trauma, sometimes they'll mention out in the field, taping the opening on the chest on three sides until you're able to perform more definitive management with the needle decompression and chest tube connected to underwater apparatus. Now, you see in this question that there's a tracheal shift. This isn't like meant to distract. I mean, it's just as you learn more and more, eventually, you know, you come across new information and you say, okay, wow, I didn't realize that tracheal deviation is seen in things other than pneumothoraces. Okay, so you can get a tracheal deviation here, but either way, it's the pulsation above the manubrium. It's the pulsation is so overwhelmingly in favor of the aortic aneurysm on the background of hypertension in this patient and smoking that we just know that it's an aortic aneurysm, especially with our aortic regurgitation here because of the proximal root dilatation. Pulmonary regurgitation, it's a distractor. I mean, you could technically have a diastolic murmur similar to aortic regurg, but it just doesn't relate to the rest of the vignette. It ignores the rest of the vignette. If you really had no idea what's going on, you're just like, like, you know, and it's going down the right sternal border. That's weird. Like, even though the pulmonic location is second intercostal space, left sternal border, and murmurs can be heard generally across the chest, so we don't have to pigeonhole any one location. It could just serve as a distractor for someone who's not sure of the rest of the presentation. That's it.